Thank you. I'm wondering if you could give him a mic and have him read that one more time. Can we do that? You got the mic back there? Yeah, give him the mic and let him read that one more time. Because that the title of my little talk is God's Will Now. What about now? What about today? And, you know, that scripture just kind of said it. So as soon as he finds it, we'll read it again.
Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied.
That's it. So all we got to do is walk in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and God will multiply. Now, what I've learned this morning is that this church is kind of a training center because you keep sending people to other places. So that's good. That's good. I didn't know that for a while. So you remember that story in the Bible that where those two guys got thrown in jail and they were having a rough night, you know? They were all bound up. But a big earthquake came and they were released and the jail was thrown open and the ground was bumping around. Do you remember that story? That kind of thing is happening in the world right now, and soon we're going to see things. So the jailer comes into Paul and Silas, and what did that guy say? What must I do to be saved? See, that's when bad things start to happen. That's what people are going to do to you and I. So my encouragement to you is be ready, because somebody's going to ask you that question. And they're going to say, what do I do? What do I do? Well, if you say, you better quit eating cheese, you know, that may be true, but it isn't a priority.
Righteousness by tofu.
Yeah, righteousness by tofu is not it. All right, Parker's going to read a scripture. That young man over there is going to read a scripture to help us kind of start.
Okay. This is Hebrews 1-3. Long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now, in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son. God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance, and through the Son, he created the universe. The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. He sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. When he had cleansed us from our sins, he sat down at the place of honor in the right hand, or at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven.
Now that is a good scripture to go to. If somebody asks you the question, what must I do? You say, well, let me tell you about Jesus. I was about 12 years old when someone told me about Jesus. And I believed him. My hero had been Superman up to that point. But I heard about Jesus and I believed him. And so what do I do? Well, they said we'd do this and this and this and you'd be baptized. And I said, okay. And then someone said, would you like to go to an Adventist summer camp? I said, okay. And then I went to an Adventist summer camp, and wow, this is kind of fun. And I learned all kinds of new things, and it was fun. And it was filled my heart. I eventually ended up at UCA where I met Pam and others. And, you know, it was fun, and it was meaningful. Once you ask that question, what must I do? God will give you the answer. Right here, I thank you so much for those of you that serve this congregation, for what you do for this congregation, and for, you know, you're training others, you're helping out. Thank God. I respect that very much. God called me when I was young, and I ended up doing a lot of crazy things. I became a teacher for a while in Upper Columbia Academy. Then I became a call porter for a while, and then I became a pastor for a while, and then I became an army chaplain for a while, and You know, I've done a lot of crazy things. I've jumped out of airplanes. I hope not to jump out of yours. But, it's been an exciting trip. But I must tell you the truth. Sometimes, and, you know, within a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago, I was pretty discouraged. I felt pretty crummy, pretty low, and pretty downtrodden. Can it happen? Yeah. I've served the Lord most of my life, and yet I sort of fell into a depression and discouraged. And, you know, did I make a difference in the world? Maybe not. You know, I kind of wondered that. Last night I got an email or a text or a message, I should say. There's so many ways nowadays. From a young man who's pastoring in Lincoln, Nebraska. I met him in Taji, Iraq. I believe that's why God sent me to Iraq. I mean, we were getting shot at. I was with 12 different soldiers who were killed. And yet this one young man, I went to him, visit him, and I said, you know, I think you'd make a good pastor. And now he's pastor of one of our larger churches. I'm so proud of this young man. He's just so filled with vip, zip, and zing. And I went to North Dakota, and there I recruited a young man to help me raise up a church in Devil's Lake, and now he's in Canada, one of their leading pastors. And so that's kind of been my little ministry, is I go and see somebody I think is talented. I went to India on a mission trip, and there was a Pentecostal minister there, in the congregation, kind of leading a few songs. And I just said, you know, I think you'd make a pretty good Adventist pastor. Come to find out later, he did. And now he has a couple congregations, maybe 10, I don't know, in India. So God has a way of taking whatever you got and using it, if you're just willing. If you're just willing. Now, so what do you do now? What is God's will for us today? You know, Parker just read a scripture, and it said, in these last days. Did you get that? We've been in the last days for quite a while. The truth is, the gospel is all about Jesus. And when trouble comes, that big earthquake comes in your neighborhood, or a bomb in your neighborhood, that's where Christians right now under stress in Ukraine are having this opportunity. And here's another scripture you can read if someone asks that. You don't have to read scripture, just tell the story. Paul and Silas didn't have their Bible handy, I don't think. They just told them about Jesus. And another one, John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, the Word was with God, and everything was made by God. You know, it's real simple. He was the Creator. He's the Lord of the Sabbath. He's the Lord of everything. But what do we do now? We've read it in Hebrews. You've been studying it in your Sabbath school lesson. So I want to just turn to Revelation 22. And our young man over here with the cute little ponytail in the back, he's going to read to us from Hebrews 12.
So Hebrews 12, yeah. 14 to 16. And in the Pew Bible, that is page 853. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son.
It's real practical. This stuff about what do we do now is sort of be nice, be faithful. Do good. Really practical stuff. Don't be sleeping with your neighbor's wife, etc. We are coming to a time. Does anybody remember the last time I spoke? We had the string group. Does anybody remember even one thing I said?
Telling us these things before, just bloom where you're planted.
All right. Is there anything else? It's the words of Jesus found in Revelation 22. Over and over, he keeps saying it. What is it? Come on now. This is. Remember I said made this statement. The secret of the gospel is not in the facts. You know, there's a zillion facts. Adventists know more facts than any other group, Christian group. We got the facts down. We know lots of facts. But the secret of the gospel is not in the facts. Or at least they're not primarily the facts. It's in the invitation. What does Jesus say? Revelation 22, verse 17. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let those who hear say, come. And let those who are thirsty come. That's it. So you can make a lot of mistakes. You can even have some stupid theology. And yet, if you will invite a friend, I have in my pocket something I'd like to give away. Is there anybody here? Is there anybody here who would like to promise that they will invite someone to come to Jesus and maybe bring them to church? Anybody? All right, Parker, come here. Yeah, I primed him for this. All right, what is that, Parker? Silver dollar. All right. So you got to give it back if you don't keep your promise, okay? All right. Thanks. You can sit down. Anybody else want to make that promise? All right. Bam.
Catch.
Anybody else? I got a limited supply. All right. There's one over there. Oh. I don't think anybody can top that, so thank you. All right. Now, today, my wife is going to share something with you that we've done as a ministry. We have turned our lives over to Jesus, the Creator, the Redeemer, the Lord of the Sabbath, the returning Savior, the resurrection and life. One of the good news is there is no immortal soul. The Bible never says there's an immortal soul. It's good news. But the best news is Jesus says over and over, I am coming back soon. Revelation 22:7 says, look, behold, I am coming soon. There's a song that's on the radio right now. It's a modern song. But he said, this guy is trying to get the message out. I like it. Maybe you've heard this song. It's by Jordan Felice. He says, we know that he's coming back. We know that he's coming back. We know that he's coming back. Whoa. Have you ever thought that the world has kind of lost its way? Crazy as it seems, yeah. I know it's going to be okay. Oh, yeah. It doesn't scare me. It's temporary. There's something better we got forever. And it won't be long because we know our help is on the way. Our help is on the way. So keep your head up. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. No, don't you give up. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. And when the world gets complicated, we're going to keep on celebrating. Because we know, yeah, we know Jesus is coming back. So we got to stay awake. Because nobody knows the day or the time. No, the trumpet's going to blow and the skies are going to open wide. Oh, yeah. And he's coming for us, just like he told us so. And it's been a long wait, but there's a new day. We're all going to sing Alleluia when the King arrives. So, you got to keep your head up. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. And he goes on to say, are you ready? People, get ready. Oh, he's coming back. You may not like the song, but the message is true. The message is true. Jesus is coming back. That's one of our best things. As a coal porter, I remember going into a house one time, and I'd driven a long way to see these people, and they were angry. And they didn't want me to come in the door. They didn't want to be bothered with a salesman. And I said, I've driven a long way. You know, can you just take a couple of minutes just to... And so, okay, come in. We walked in the house, and there, the family
in a darkened room was watching a horror movie. And everybody's like this for the next horrible thing to happen. I had no idea what to do. I just said, Lord, help me. So I didn't say anything. I just opened up my case and I laid the thing on the floor and put some books on top of it. And I just turned to the lady and I said, the purpose of this stuff is to help you be ready because Jesus is coming back. She got right up. She went over and turned the TV off and everybody goes, hey! And then they all looked at my books and they bought a whole bunch of books. There are people that will listen if you give them the opportunity about Jesus is coming back. You tell them that. Well, if they're not ready, then you don't push it. But if they are ready, you say, have you thought about being a Christian? Would you like to become a disciple of Jesus? You want to come to church with me? The secret is in the invitation. Now I want to turn this time over to Terry because she has got something where a whole bunch of people are responding to the simple call from a refugee camp in Africa. And we're going to show a little video right now, I think it's about 6 minutes, and it'll introduce you, and then Terry will tell you some more stuff. Oh, I forgot to read from 13. Well, maybe next time. This is chapter 13 of Hebrews about what to do now. Read it in your Sabbath school lesson, if nowhere else. All right, please.
Rwanda has worked hard to recover from the brutal genocide against the Tutsi in 1994. But refugees continue to seek safety in Rwanda from neighboring Congo. Terrorists often threaten, beat, or kill adults and children as they attempt to escape the turmoil. After decades of war, many children are homeless and missing parents or siblings.
Then they say, no, it's a trick. We're not soldier. You need to put my gun here. They say, no, you should pick out. In that moment, I remember, I didn't know how to pray, but in my heart, I just kneeled down, then I said, oh, please, my God, help me if I escape this place. I should serve you all the time.
My old brothers and sisters are still in Congo because when the war was broken out, I separated with them. They ran away where I don't know. Until now, I have never seen them.
I've been trapped when I was 3 years old. Till now, I'm still suffering from some pain, especially when I do long travel, especially walking.
The number of people fleeing the Congo grows each year. Yet little is known about the current refugee crisis in Rwanda. Now the total number of Congolese refugees in camps is over 80,000. These refugees are trapped in desperate conditions in makeshift homes with no running water, sewer, or electricity. The refugees do not own land, so have no way to raise their own food or keep their own animals. The United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees provides enough for one meal per day per person, and aid continues to be reduced.
It is not a good place for a human being to live.
To find something to eat, something to trace, it is so hard.
The refugees desperately want a way out of the camps, but lack opportunity. Rwandan high schools are located in the cities, a long ways away from the camps, making it more difficult to access upper secondary education. Brave girls who walk as much as 5 miles one way risk assault or rape. It happens routinely. Often when returning from class, the students find nothing to eat since the family has already eaten their one meal. Then the students have to get up early and walk back to school on an empty stomach.
In this life that we love, if you are an educated pupil, you cannot get anything.
In 2015, Hans and Mindy Tygesen started Impact Hope, an organization that sends at-risk refugee youth to safe Christian boarding schools in Rwanda. This gives the teens a chance for a high school education and also a place to be empowered by hope.
We feel passionate about helping these refugee students because we have been so impacted by them out of their dire situations, the hope and the Christ-centered life that they're living. By helping them, we have been incredibly blessed ourselves.
For most of the graduating refugees, a high school diploma isn't enough to secure a job. So Impact Hope added a summer trade program. The summer program teaches permaculture, hairdressing, sewing, plumbing, electrical, and culinary arts. These practical trades equip students with a realistic way to make a living, a way to finally break free from the refugee camps. After a student graduates from high school, Impact Hope gives them opportunity to attend a one-year technical school to become certified in a trade. Many students who have finished have found jobs in the hospitality industry, restaurants, maintenance, tailoring, technical repair shops, security, and teaching. For graduates who are motivated to start a small business, Impact Hope is helping by providing entrepreneurial training and microloans. Graduates have started bakeries, restaurants, tailoring shops, farms to sell produce at the markets, clothing shops, and cooperatives. But still, more needs to be done.
With a donation of $50 a month, we can immediately take a child out of a camp and place them in a safe, secure boarding school.
A sponsor gives a young person an education and a vocational skill, plus safety and enough to eat. And all that in an environment that will build relationships with Jesus and create a life of service to those around them. And there are even more students who need help. Each year, over 10,000 children from the refugee camps miss out on a high school education and the chance to learn a life-saving trade.
Right now, the doors to Rwanda are open, but given their past, we know that those doors can shut. This is the time to do the work in Rwanda.
There are ways you can help too. You can support a refugee student. You can pray for the students, staff, and volunteers at Impact Hope. And you can tell others how students in Rwanda's refugee camps find hope. Visit impact-hope.org to find out more. You can impact hope.
Good morning. About 5 years ago, I was working for the Oregon Conference in Women's Ministry, and our committee was praying for God to lead us to where we should put our offerings, because once a year we met and 200 to 300 women gathered, and we wanted the offering to go for women. And it was getting pretty close to retreat and we didn't have anything. And I was telling one of my coworkers, and she said, "Have you heard, do you know Mindy from Impact Hope?" And this was in the first year of their ministry, and I said, "No, I don't." And so I called her up, and I said, "Mindy, I understand you send refugee girls to boarding schools. We want to help." And she said, "I can come over. I live really close to the conference office." And so she came and saw me, and we talked, and I said, "This is what we've been praying for." And she said, "Right after I hung up from talking to you, Hans called me coming home from Rwanda, from the airport. He said, 'Mindy, we have 98 girls. We need to get into boarding school because they're walking 5 to 7 miles to high school and being raped along the way or on the way home.' So girls have a disadvantage. You know, they become pregnant and then they have to stay home and help the mother raise their siblings. And so we really believed it was the answer to prayer, and Mindy came to our retreat. And, you know, I had no idea. It has grown my faith, because we presented this to the women and said we need to send these girls to school. And I thought, we'll do part. We could help in some way. And the women really responded. And we raised over $75,000 from that weekend. I mean, that's just unheard of. So that is a God thing, definitely a God thing. Me of little faith, I thought if we could do $6,000 or $9,000, that would be wonderful, you know. But God sees a big picture. And so we have been involved, and Mandy told me, you really need to come to Africa and see what it's all about. And I said, I'll go if Dale will go. You know, and Dale says, I have no desire to go to Africa. And so at camp meeting that following year, I just told her, you go talk to him. I introduced him, and I walked away. And I come back, and Dale says, sign us up. because his heart is for children and education. So Impact Hope has grown. They have now, you know, these kids that we first help are graduating. And the whole goal is when they graduate to have a trade. Because to get into university in Rwanda is not as easy as it is in the United States. They may or may not be selected. And so when they graduate from academy, now they have a trade, but now Impact Hope just open up a center for hope. And they first told me about, I go, it's Centers for Hope? And they go, a center for hope. And I go, oh, okay. All sinners need hope. No. And so they go to the center and they actually will get certified by the country so they can go out and do the plumbing, do the electrical, do the hairdressing, and they have their vocational certificate so they can help get their family out of poverty. And the little gal that I first helped, she's now, it took her 2 years after graduating, is in university, but she also has a trade of hairdressing to help her as she goes to university. So I met a young man that told me his father went into war. They lived in the Congo, and he went to war. They never saw him, but the army was getting closer and closer to their home, so the mother said, we need to go to Rwanda, to a refugee camp. So he said, on the way, people were kind of walking in groups, and they got to the border. This group ahead of them went to the border, and they watched, and the soldiers took this family, this group, down to, I can't remember if it was a lake or a river, but they shot them, and they fell to the lake. And this young man said, we thought we were next. You know, that's what's going to happen to us. So his mother had their papers, and they went up to the border, and they said, you go on through. But they have that PTSD, that, you know, those pictures in their head. And they come malnourished, and they go into their refugees in Rwanda, and a lot of them are Adventist families. And they have education there for grade school, but high school wasn't certified, and this is where Impact Hope came in and put them in boarding school. So we have over 1,200 students now in school. And so my passion is to help these families, and I've been there twice. I've seen the conditions of the camps. The first camp that Dale and I went to, we met with the parents to let them know how well their children were doing, and they were just so proud when they heard their kids were thriving in school. And these kids come up to you and they say, thank you for this opportunity to be here in school. Because these kids came from a mud hut, one meal a day. They get one meal a day, and, you know, the conditions are dirty. There's no plumbing. It's just not good conditions. And they go to a boarding school. They're getting three meals a day, and they're getting education. They're getting a chance for a better life. One of the fathers at the refugee camp got up to thank us, and then he said, and this will, I'll never forget it, he said, we didn't know you were coming today, and there was, I think, six or seven of us volunteers that went there. He said, if we would have known, we would have started saving our portions of our meals last week so we could give you a meal today, because that is custom. And it just broke my heart to think that they would have to have their one meal a day, that they would save something up for us. And at that time they lived on 17 cents a day. Now I believe it's 11 cents for the whole family. They get one meal a day. So to these kids, it's like they have been taken out and they're putting, you know, into nice to them. It's just a wonderful place. They get uniforms, they get their meals, they get all their school supplies and everything needed. And so that's my, I'm no longer in women's ministry, but I am on the board of Impact Hope, and I continue to go out and speak for them. And I just want to tell you, I have two students here today that if you're interested to come see me, I'd be really happy if even one got adopted. They send you a little sticker. Do you have one? Anybody else here sponsoring a student in Impact Hope? You put it on your refrigerator, and you can write them letters. And these kids just love Jesus. They love him so much. And some of them will say, you know, I wish I could go to America. And I'm thinking, and Dale and I have been on several mission trips in South America and Africa. And they're so sincere, and I'm thinking, no, don't come to America. It's not what you think it is, you know. But I just thank you for letting me tell you about Impact Hope and our story. And I have information, envelopes. So just come see me after the service, and I'd be happy to talk to you. And I'd be really happy if my two kids got adopted. You'll take one? Oh. Oh. You have one?
No.
You want one? Oh, got it. So there's one. I got one left. Oh, and you know what? There's a lot. So I have envelopes. We can handle it. You'll get your card in the mail. So thank you.
It's real simple. You just do what you can, whatever your hand finds to do. Do it with all your might. Pretty simple. God has opened that opportunity for us, and we have some of those on our refrigerator. Now I'm going to have you read those scriptures because they're practical, and we still have 2 minutes. So you have those scriptures ready from, this is practical stuff from Hebrews 13, which is your lesson next week. You ready?
Do you want all of those sections that you wrote?
Just
on that
one
paper?
At a time.
Okay, we're doing Hebrews 13, verses 1 to 6. Keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. For some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. Remember those in prison as if you were there yourself. Remember also those being mistreated as if you felt their pain in your own bodies. Give honor to marriage. Remain faithful to one another in marriage. God will surely judge people who are immoral and those who commit adultery. Don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me?
Amen. Amen. That's just practical knowledge, practical advice. All right, read the next one for us. You're on a roll.
That would be 9 through 14, the same chapter. So do not be attracted by strange new ideas. Your strength comes from God's grace, not from rules about food, which don't help those who follow them. We have an altar from which the priests in the tabernacle have no right to eat. Under the old system, the high priest brought the blood of animals into the holy place as a sacrifice for sin. And the bodies of the animals were burned outside the camp. So also Jesus suffered and died outside the city gates to make his people holy by means of his own blood. So let us go out to him outside the camp and bear the disgrace he bore. For this world is not our permanent home. We are looking forward to a home yet to come.
Amen. We're looking forward to the city, aren't we? Well, you might as well finish it up.
15 to 17. Therefore, let us offer, through Jesus, a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. Don't forget to do good and to share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that please God. Obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. Give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow. That would surely not be for your benefit.
And the next words are, he says, pray for us too. Let's close in prayer. Thank you so much. Today we have a song to close with. It's trust and obey. I remember that, learning that as a young man. It's about what it boils down to. Just keep on plodding away, trust and obey. Let's pray, and then we'll sing, and then we go out. Thank you, Lord, for being with us. Thank you for giving us hope. Thank you for giving us knowledge that we can share. Thank you for giving us a job to do. In Jesus' name, amen.